darkness of
see.
Isaiah 53, verse number 1, and it says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Precious God, we come to you, Lord, one more time this day. We thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that you laid upon hearts, Lord Father, not only to be sung, but to be written. Thank you that we have songs that we can sing. Thank you, God, for the melody that you place in our heart that we would love to sing. God, I pray today, Lord, for your will to be done. I pray, Lord God, today for your word to be acknowledged and heard, Lord Father. I pray for the liberty, Lord, not only, Father, that every heart needs today, but I pray for the liberty, Lord Father, that you'll preach through us, Lord Father, that nothing would be in our way. Father, not even myself, Lord, hide me in the midst of your cross, Lord Father, and deal with hearts. Lord, I do believe, Lord Father, it takes the revelation of your spirit in our heart, revealing the things in our lives and revealing your word to what it really means. And Father, after it is revealed in our heart, Father, I pray that we would mind your spirit and move. Now, Lord, I do know this in today's time, in 2016, it seems as more and more we look at things in a different way. But Lord, if your word says it, we are to take your word and put it into our heart and hide it in our heart, Lord Father, that we might not sin against you, Lord, that it would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And oh God, I pray today for everyone that's here that may that doesn't know who you are as Savior and Lord. They don't know about the feeling of being forgiven. Lord, they haven't placed their faith in you and repentance towards you. But oh God, I pray today would be the day. Father, loose my lips, Lord Father. Loose my tongue, Lord God. Let me not preach my my opinion or my preconceived thoughts. But Lord, may we all just, may I mind you today and just be a willing vessel. Father, anoint me afresh with that fresh oil. Oh God, Lord Father, where no man can preach without. It's in your Son's sweet, precious, and holy, righteous name that you humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading here in Isaiah chapter number 53. Very familiar scripture to most Bible readers. Very familiar scripture to most folk. Here in Isaiah chapter 53, it goes on to talk about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But can I say it starts off in that first verse in "Who has believed our report?" Who hath believed our report? As I was thinking and meditating yesterday and spent some alone time with the Lord, as I pondered on the scripture, I kept asking God, who has actually believed in what the Bible says, or who has actually followed in that in the words of the Lord? Man's word sometimes been taken at face value, and God's word has been taken sometimes at face value. But there's sometimes people take greater heed to other reports than they do the report of God. I'm reminded that more so today than it has been ever, that more folk take heed to the report of the weatherman than they do the report that comes from God's word. Now I'm reminded that sometimes we'll take the report of the newsman before we'll take the report of what God's word has to say. I know sometimes we'll follow the report of the stock market, or we'll follow the farmer's report, or we'll follow the report that has been given by a mechanic or by someone else, that the report that is needful and desired, or something that we think we needs to be true in our life. And can I say today, there's a report that the Bible gives. You said, "Preacher, how do you know?" Because the prophet Isaiah said there's a report that needs to be given. There is something that needs to be drawn. There's something that needs to be written down, not only in the mind of our life, but in the heart of our being. That we need to realize that things that are true and things that are factual in life. And can I say this today in Isaiah chapter number 53? And though it has been preached throughout generations and throughout generations, I'm not the first and I definitely won't be the last man to stand and proclaim and ask the question, who has believed our report? Can I say the report has not changed? It's been the same report throughout the history of time. It's been reported on ever since man has walked upon the face of the earth. And can I still yet that report that has never changed from its origins? Though man has tried to change the report, still yet when you change the report, you change the whole entire meaning of the report. Can I say this today? We're living in a world now where it says that we need to be more liberal in our thinking and more liberal in our love. And one of the reports that's going around today is that there is no hell. But can I report to you today, if you'll have it, that hell is still real and it is still hot. And it's getting larger every single day. I know in today's times and most people in most churches now are leaning towards the side that there is no more hell. Some folks even go so far as to say that if hell does exist, it's only for a temporary time. And then when all time is done, everybody gets to get out of hell and get out of jail free card, and they all get to go to heaven. But it is the wrong report to believe. It seems like in today's time and day that we live in, we most like the reports that sound best to our life. Somebody say amen. We like the reports that means that goes along with the way that we think or the way that we live. Can I say this today? The report that some people might say, well, no one really knows who's going to heaven and no one really knows the way to God. But can I tell you this? There is a report that states there is a hell, and there is a report that states why you go and how you go to hell, and there's a report that states why you ought not to go and how to keep from going there today. Many of people don't like reporting the report. There is times and there's people don't like being the reporter or like being the message giver that says the report that God gives from up on high. And a lot of times people say, well, it's not popular and people don't like you for the report that you give. But can I say this today? I'm not the one who conjured up the report. I'm just the reporter who has to report it into your ears. Amen. So many times people will believe the news report or the weatherman. Everybody has their favorite weatherman. Everybody likes their favorite channel. I hear people talk all the time. They like the weatherman on Channel 9. Or they like the weatherman on Channel 12 or Channel 5 or Channel 19. But can I tell you, I like the weatherman when I can stick out my head out the front door and look and see if it's raining. I know for a fact it's raining. How many times has the weatherman got the report wrong? I don't know how many times I've heard him talk about white death and how it was a coming of snow was going to come 4 and 5 and 6 inches deep. And an hour later, the shelves are emptied up off at the grocery store. No more milk and no more bread. And you'll go to bed that night and wake up and the roads are dry and the grass, you can still see it. And it's not even below freezing and let alone even near any snow. But if a man of God proclaims that God's coming back and you better get your life in order, they'll think they got all the time in the world. And they'll put her off and put her off and put her off. But can I tell you, the weatherman can get it wrong and still keep his job. But if the preacher man gets it wrong, God will have your soul in hell and have the preacher man's hands covered in the blood. Can I say this today? The report. He's asking, who has believed the report? Who has believed the report? Oftentimes as we look at the report, and I'll get to what the report says, but oftentimes a lot of folks won't believe it. I've seen folks who'll say, I like the news reporter. And a lot of times people will watch the news, affiliation to their political party. A lot of folks who are Democrat will watch MSNBC or CNN. And a lot of folks who are Republican will watch Fox News. And they'll sit there, and that's the one they'll like to listen to because it gives the report that makes them feel good or things that makes them feel right into how they believe. But can I tell you this? God's not interested on how you believe. God's interested in you believing in His report. And because I say this today, you can find yourself a favorite church and you can find yourself a favorite preacher. Can I say this? In the United States of America, you can go and find the church of your choice. But if he ain't given the report that you need to hear, you'll find yourself in a situation. You'll find yourself in a circumstance. You'll find yourself in a position that you wish you never had gotten yourself into. But if you'd only stuck there with the report that God gives and God sends to your heart, be mindful of what he says and believe it. Adopted into your life. I've seen where somebody says that the devil really doesn't care about the person who reads their Bible too much as the person who reads it and adopts what the Bible says into their life and tries to follow it. Somebody say amen right there. And can I say and tell you this today? The report is in 66 books, and the report is in this glorious Bible. I've heard people say, preacher, how do you know that report is true? Because it's been trying to been proven to be false, but it's always been proven to be true. It's been trying to be proved that it was incorrect, but it's always come out correct. They've often said that it's really not factual, but every time they try to prop it up against anything else, it always become factual. I'm glad this report wasn't written by me. I'm glad this report wasn't written by nobody else, but it was written by men, holy men, who were moved upon by the Spirit of God and penned down the words that God says to place in His book. This is not the report of man, but this is the report of God, and we have to believe it and take it into our lives. Can I say this today? In John chapter 12, the Bible says that Jesus, in John chapter 12, at the beginning of John chapter 12, this is where Lazarus is sitting at the dinner table with Christ. This is after that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days and was buried in the tomb. This is after Jesus had came by in the midst of all the Jews and in front of Mary and Martha and the friends of Lazarus. And Jesus cried out Lazarus' name, saying, "Come forth." And Lazarus come forth out of the tomb. The chapter number 12 is also right after when Jesus said, "Take the grave clothes off of him and loose him and let him be free." And this is also in chapter number 12 where many other religious folks come to the supper table and had come to stood outside to see Lazarus, the one whom Jesus had raised from the dead. This is the same place where they come to hear the things that Jesus had to say. This is the same chapter where folks come and said, "Yes, Jesus is mighty and Jesus is great." But they would not believe on the things that he had done. Though they laid their eyes upon Lazarus, though they seen him sitting at the table, though they knew he was dead, maybe they was at the funeral procession, maybe they was there, and maybe they saw everything that transpired. But in chapter number 12, they're seeing Lazarus, who's raised back to life. But still yet they would not believe in the report that Jesus had said. You said, "Preacher, how can you say that?" Because in verse number 38, Jesus echoes Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse number 1. He says that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Oh, can I say this today? There's many a people that have seen the miracles of God. They have seen things take place in the life and in the world of today. There's people that's been healed of cancer. There's people that's been healed of heart disease. There's people who's been on the brink of death, and God has forgiven them their life back. There's people who were drug addicts and drunkards. Sorry, good for nothing, no doubt nasty sinners. But God saved their soul and changed their life around and made them a brand new creature. Made them a fit subject in society. Made them a producer in the community. They got their life back in order. They got themselves a good job. When everybody said they wouldn't amount to nothing, they amounted to something. Because God made a way in their life and made a move. And still yet people won't believe the report. We'll find ourselves in the position saying, "I don't think God can help me. I don't think God can help out my circumstance. I don't think God can do the things in my life like he's done in anybody else's life." Can I give you some encouragement today, friend? If God done it for me, he's got to do it for you. You said, "Preacher, he don't have to." Oh, yes, he does. The Bible says when your ways delight in the Lord, he'll even make your enemies to be at peace with you. The Bible says when you are delight the Lord in your heart, he shall give you the desires of your heart. Can I say this? That's his word. He cannot lie. He's bound by his word. And thank God he's an honorable and it has a good character in God where he keeps his word and he'll do it for you. But you got to believe. You got to believe. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 10. In Romans chapter number 10. I may be moving pretty fast today. I got to get to what God wants me to get to. In Romans chapter number 10. This is the scriptures where a lot of folks like to go to, and it talks about salvation. But I want to remind everybody what happens in Romans chapter 10. The Apostle Paul starts off talking about his brethren, the children of Israel. He starts off talking and says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." That means they have an excitement. They have a preconceived notion about who God is. They was raised up in church, if you'll have it. They was raised around the scripture. Y'all hearing this preacher today? Serious business going on today. Some people might say, "Well, preacher, I didn't hear the report." Well, it's not my fault if you don't hear it. It's my fault if I don't get it. Somebody say amen right there. I felt something right there on that. God said, "Say it." So here in Romans chapter number 10, he's starting off saying, these folks are excited about God. They have an excitement about it. They have a form of what God is. They have somewhat up there that they can kind of recognize who God is. But he says they don't have the knowledge of the Lord. And it says in verse number 3, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." He says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." He was talking about how the Jews would try to go out and say, "Well, it's by me keeping the letter of the law shall my righteousness be seen of God." But my Bible tells me that our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God, and that no man can keep the law. A lot of people says, "Well, I can't keep those 10 commandments." Well, you're in good company because Adam and Eve couldn't keep one commandment and they broke it. But it's not by our righteousness that God's looking for, but it's by the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ, who fulfilled the law for every man, boy and girl and woman, that we might be reconciled unto God. Amen. Jesus took our place as a place of a sinner, but we get made again brand new in the righteousness of God, that we might be accepted by Him. And Paul was preaching unto the church, or preaching to the believers, and preaching to the Israelites and the Jews that were at Rome, saying, stop believing in what you're believing in, but believe the report that God gave, that Christ is the righteousness and the fulfilling of the law. He goes on throughout the scriptures and he says this. He says, but what saith the word? It is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I want to stop right there and say something. That is the difference in saying you believe, and that's the difference in living in that belief. Because when you really truly give that belief into God, when you surrender and give your heart away to God, when you repent towards God and give all your faith towards Jesus Christ, not only does it swell up in your heart, but you'll get a case of the can't help it. So like Sister Judy, you'll find yourself at the dollar store talking about Jesus instead of the cheap prices that you can get something. You'll find yourself at Walmart where they're saying, Walmart is not the only saving place, but the house of God, Jesus, is the saving place. I'm telling you, believe it, you'll get a case of the can't help it. It'll come out your mouth. You'll testify. You'll glorify. You want to magnify. You want to tell somebody about how good God is, not only in the world, but how good He is in your life. Because He says, when you believe it unto righteousness in your heart, and then there's a confession that's made with your mouth unto salvation. Y'all hear this, preacher? So many times people get things confused. I want to say this, I ain't trying to be mean, but I want to give you the report. It says you believe in your heart and confession with your mouth. I'm telling you, a lot of times things gets a whole lot easier for a believer when they confess Christ, because your flesh does not want you to confess Him. Your flesh wants you to revel in the things of the world so your flesh will feel good. But on the inside, if you've got something in your heart, it's not at home in this world. And it has been filled up with the Spirit of God. And it wants to tell somebody about it. Am I the only person who agrees with that? Am I the only person that believes you should tell somebody about Jesus? Can I tell you this? We'll get on the cell phone and we'll text somebody saying there's a sale going on down at Walmart. They got 50% off. Somebody will call somebody up on the phone, Brother Jerry, and say, they got 10, 12 packs of Pepsi down at Target for $10. And you're allowed 20 cartons per person. And you'll see them line up. But if you tell somebody, if you know that Jesus saves from sin and can make a brand new creature in someone's life, too many times we'll keep our mouths shut. We won't put it on Facebook. We won't tell somebody in a text message. We won't even email it or tell somebody at the red light. But oh, bless God, the report at Walmart is not going to save you. It's the report that God says that'll save your soul. He says, believe in your heart and confess it. Why? Because He says in the 15th verse, He said, in the 13th verse, He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How then shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Amen. And bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Can I say something here today? And I'm not, and don't get me wrong, I want you to know from the depths of my heart, that it's not about a position that a man holds, but it's about the position that man is in when he's in God's hands. Paul said, how can they believe on someone they have not heard? How can they hear unless it be preached? How can he be a preacher unless he be sent? I'm not talking about sent by mom. I'm not talking about being sent by dad. And not everybody that stands behind a pulpit and got a nice outfit on, a nice suit and tie, or maybe they're wearing flip-flops and a pair of shorts and they're holding up a book they call a Bible, that does not make them a preacher. And can I say this just so nobody thinks that I'm getting sideways and trying to puff myself up? And just because some church may think you've got something in you, you've got some kind of charismatic talent, and you've got an attribute and a character that's very intoxicating unto people and invites them to come to church and they ordain them and give them a piece of paper, does not mean they've been called by God.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. Like that. And just because he may get loud or may not get loud, just because he may study or may not study, but just because he may spit or he's eloquent in speech, maybe he's not blunt or maybe he's very obnoxious in the preacher, does not mean he's been called by God. What means he's called by God is when God moves through him and preaches his word and the Spirit of God touches the heart. Can I remind everybody, he used a donkey back in the Old Testament and he used a rooster in the New Testament. And if he can use a donkey and a rooster, I think he can use me. But he says they need a preacher. He says they need a preacher. And so many times, the one person who's not liked the most is the preacher. Ain't that right? But can I say this, Brother Scott Strunk? It's not just this preacher they don't like. They don't like none of these other preachers. Huh? Just because some of y'all ain't been ordained, ain't been called by God to preach in a pulpit like I have, does not mean you're not preaching something from God. Ain't that right? Ain't you all preaching a life? Ain't you all preaching a Savior? Is your life not telling someone about who you are, about where you live and what you live from and what's in your heart? Is anybody hearing this preacher today? No one ever looks at themselves as them being the reporter. No one ever looks at themselves as them the one being the weatherman. No one ever looks at themselves saying, well, it's always somebody else. We'll put it on the pastor's table. We'll put it on the preacher's shoulders. They're the ones that's got to preach. But can I tell you this? I can preach my lungs out and God can wear me out and I can't even walk. And somebody's got to drive me home. And I can preach my heart out and there'll be lost people sitting in this church. Teenage kids sitting in this church. Young kids sitting in this church. And they go home and mom and dad won't adopt it into their lifestyle. And they won't believe the report. And the life that these young people see in front of their parents will doom them to eternity. And can I say this, a spouse could be listening and trying to hear what the Word of God has to say, but the other spouse really don't care and they'll go home and live any old way they want to. It'll hinder them and try and then drown them down and tie them down in the world. I know it's not popular preaching, but I'm here to give you the report. It's not just on Sunday, not just this preacher who gives the report, but it's the Word of God, the Spirit of God. If you believe, they'll give you a report. Two places I want to give you and I'm done. First place is in 1 Kings chapter number 18. First place is 1 Kings chapter number 18. Preaching on who hath believed the report. Who hath believed the report. We find ourselves in 1 Kings chapter number 18. Familiar scripture to most Bible readings. This is the place where Elijah calls down the fire upon the sacrifice. And everybody loves that part. I love when the fire falls. Somebody say amen. I love it when the fire falls. Anybody like it? Anybody else like it when the fire falls? Say amen. I mean, you like it when the fire falls? I mean, I just love it when the fire of God falls because it'll take out everything that's fake and phony and it'll purify that which is true. Here in 1 Kings chapter number 18, I want to remind everybody, this is the prophet Elijah. Not only did he call down fire, but he was also the prophet that Ahab did not like. He was the prophet that Ahab did not like because when Naboth had a vineyard and Ahab wanted that vineyard, Ahab and his wife Jezebel conspired, and Jezebel had men lie with two or three witnesses on Naboth and had him stoned to death so Ahab can get his vineyard. Naboth wasn't about to sell out. He said, it's my inheritance. It's my father's vineyard. And how many times do us as Christians have been given the inheritance of God, not only in glory, but there's an inheritance that he gives us. There's a benefits that he gives us. And we've been preaching on the benefits and blessings that he gives us. And we've been preaching on the blessings. And they are the blessings and the benefits and the heritage that comes from our Father. But as soon as the world comes by and says, I'd like to have some, we're quick as could be to sell out those benefits. But Naboth said, I'm not giving up what my father gave me. I'm not giving up what daddy had placed in my trust. I'm not giving up the good fruit and the good producing and the good crop that comes from this field. And they lied on him and had him killed. Here is also in 1 Kings chapter number 18, we find where Elijah had prayed for it not to rain. and had not rained for years. And Elijah was told by God to go to certain places, and here he finds himself and tells and runs up with the servant of the king. When they come together, he tells that servant to go tell King Ahab that they're going to meet face to face. And then they meet face to face. I'm going to read some verses in chapter number 18 of 1 Kings, verse 17, starting there. And it said, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou that he that troubleth Israel? Ahab is blaming the man of God for troubling Israel. Israel at this time, Brother Justin, is sold out to sin. They stopped worshiping God and they started worshiping Baal. They forsook the word of God and started doing things that was right in their own eyes. When it was popular with everybody else to go running after the things of the world, they all jumped in and joined together. And when the man of God stood up and did what the man of God was told to do by God, the man of God became the enemy. Y'all hearing this preaching? How many times that folks come to the house of God and they think I'm their enemy because they say, well, this preacher doesn't ever do me no good. I think he's digging into my life. He's investigating on me, trying to find things out about me so he can preach it from the pulpit. I'm not no mud-slinging preacher. And trust me, I grew up spiritually around mud-slinging preachers. It never works.
Amen.
Never works. I'm not a preacher who directs the message and go, God help a man whoever tries to. Because when a man tries to direct the message of God, he's in trouble.
Amen.
But Ahab got upset and said, are you the one who troubles Israel? And in verse number 18, this is what Ahab said. Or this is what it says. And he answered, Elijah said, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Elijah said, the reason why you're all upset with me is because I preach you the truth from God's word, and you get upset because you don't want to follow God's word. You want to follow the word of somebody else. Y'all hearing me tonight? Some people don't like it when the preacher says about other religions. Some people don't like it when the preacher says something about other denominations. I'm not worried about denominations or religions, and I'm not trying to be mean or obnoxious. Please don't take this the other way. I'm not worried about your heart. What I'm worried about is doing what God told me to do, and that's to give you the full report. And Ahab said, Elijah said, I'm not the one troubling Israel. You're the one who's troubled Israel. You're the king. You're the one who went after other gods and caused everybody else to follow after them. We find out in the scriptures, this is where Elijah told him, he said, well, get your prophets together and we'll have ourselves sacrifices and call down fire from God or call down fire from Baal. There was 850 prophets of Baal and one old prophet of God. Does anybody see something like that? I mean, it doesn't seem fair. The odds ain't right. I mean, there's 850 prophets of Baal and one prophet of God. Brother Don, I'm not into odds making, but I know that's not fair. I mean, that's wrong. Them 850 prophets ain't got a chance against one man of God. Some people say, well, preacher, ain't it the other way? No, because the man of God ain't doing it for himself. He's been empowered, he's been positioned, and he's been placed by God. When you come against God's anointed don't fight back. God's the one who fights back. And the 850 prophets didn't have a chance. You all know the story. Most of you who don't know the story, read 1 Kings chapter 18. Baal could not send down fire. But when Elijah prayed over in verse number 17, he said, hear me, O Lord. Or 37, verse number 37. He says, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And then verse 38 says, and the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. Why would they slay him? That they know that there is one God. And he was the God of Israel. All them people got upset with Ahab and said, Ahab. Or got upset with Elijah. And Ahab said, you're the one who caused all these problems. Because you're the one who's preaching that this God is the true God. You're the one who caused all these problems. Because you're the one. You're the one that caused all these problems. You stir the people up. You make them get upset. Why can't you just go with the flow? Why can't you just say what everybody else is saying? Why do you have to be so different? Y'all hear this, preacher?
Yep,
when verse in chapter number 22, and I'll close here, we find Ahab again. And there's King Ahab, and there's King Jehoshaphat, preaching on who hath believed the report. Ahab, not only is he here and about to hear the report from God, but he has heard the report from God over and over and time again. And in chapter number 22, the Bible says that King Ahab wanted to go to war against, I think it is with the Assyrians, And he asked Jehoshaphat to join in the battle with him. And every time I read across these scriptures, there's been times I've been in revivals and I've been in church houses with a lot of preachers, and I've been in places, and I wasn't the one, but I could feel in the spirit that God placed in my life and in my heart, Brother Jeff Curry, that some things weren't going right. Because in this scripture it says there was 400 men, there was 400 prophets that was present. If you'll have it, just for the sake of the argument, don't get sideways on me. They was having themselves one humdinger of a revival, and there's 400 Baptist preachers there. You ought to say amen, because you're like, hey, we get the bash on the preachers now. But Jehoshaphat said, I'll go to war with you, but I want to know if it's okay with God. Without a show of hands, how many people here, I wonder, would want their life to be right with God? And if you really want it right with God, how far are you willing to go with God to make sure it's right? May I remind everybody that it's not between you and me. It's between you and God. I talked to a man for years who sought and sought and sought for peace and happiness in a relationship with somebody in this world. And I said, I have no problem with you not wanting to be alone. I have no problem with that. Some people, it's just different. Some people are that way. Some people can do it. Some people can't. But I kept reminding him. I said, Jerry, I told him, I said, the relationship with you and God can not only supply the need that you want in a physical relationship, but he'll give you so much more. I said, I'm not saying not to go for that other relationship. I'm just saying seek God first, and he'll put all these other things in your life. Ain't that Bible? For years and years and years, I tried and tried and tried to tell him, tried to tell him. Finally, a couple months ago, he calls me, and this is what he tells me. He goes, you know what? I finally realized it. When it's all said and done, it's between me and God anyway. At the end of the day, it's you and God. And this hoping and banking and thinking at this death, and don't get me wrong, I believe that somebody can be saved on their deathbed, but there's a lot of people who's not. Because if the Spirit of the Lord ain't there to tug at your heart, don't get mad at me. I'm just giving you the report. Because if the Spirit of God ain't there to deal with your heart, there's no salvation. That doesn't mean we give up and quit. We keep going to the end. But if you have an opportunity and you're hearing the report, you best believe the report. And Jehoshaphat told Ahab, he said, I'll go to battle with you. I want to hear from the men of God. Is God okay with this? And Ahab's like, I got you 400 Baptist preachers. What more you want? I got slobber ones. I got sweaty ones. I've got hollering ones. I've got smart ones. I've got ignorant ones. I got every kind of Baptist preacher you want. You want one, I got you one. Lined them all up. And what'd they all say? Hey, King, you go on. Go to battle. Go on. It's all going to be good. You got the victory. Thumbs up. Thumbs up. All of them was telling them exactly what King Ahab wanted to hear. And then Jehoshaphat, having enough of God in his heart, said, all right, now something's wrong here. The message can't be the same from every one of them. And Ahab and Jehoshaphat even knew. And this is what he says. He says in verse number 7, chapter number 22, he says, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? Besides, that we might inquire of him, he's looking for the man of God. Can I say this today? When you want to hear from God, don't get mad at the man of God, but take what the Lord wants to say to you. It's easy to ask for God. Say, God, what do you want me to do? But Tony, on the other hand, it's different to do what God wants you to do. Somebody say amen right there. It's easy to think what God wants you to do, but it's different when you know what God wants you to do and it doesn't match up with what you want to do. And this is what he says. In the 8th verse, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. This is the man of God. But this is what Ahab said about the man of God. He says, but I hate him, for he doeth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He hates the preacher. He hated the preacher. He says, because he never tells me anything good. It's easy to create a crowd of people when I say, it's okay for you to drink because it's going to help you out in your blood work. It's okay to tell somebody it's okay to dabble in drugs because it's going to ease your pain. And it'd be a whole lot easier to build a crowd for me to say, it's all right to dabble in pornography because you're just flesh as it is. It'd be easy to build a crowd for me to stand up here and say, it's okay to live any old way you want to, because just remember, once saved, always saved. Some of y'all was looking at me like you just swallowed a bug. But that never, ever, ever built a church. And that never, ever, ever saves a person's soul. And just like Ahab, some of you right now has done gotten that rebellious mood, and your temperature's starting to jack up, and your blood pressure's starting to raise up, and you're going, here he goes again. He never tells me anything good. Well, the reason why you never hear nothing good is as soon as the sin that God preaches hits your mailbox, you automatically put in the earplugs, you turn up the music of your mind and of the world, and you shut off the rest of the report. And he looked at him and said, I don't like him, but Jehoshaphat says I want to hear from him. And this is what he says, we'll pick up in verse number 13. And he sent somebody to go get him, and the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king, but with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of them that speak that which is good. Can I say this? I don't know how many people has pulled me aside and said, Jason, if you just change the way you preach. And I'm going to say this because God's pushed my button. Jason, you know, we are used to some of this preaching back years ago at Mount Zion, but man, you're kind of rougher than normal. But this ain't the first place I've heard that from. And everybody says, well, can everybody be wrong? 400 prophets were, and so was 850 other prophets. God's never wrong. Ain't that right, James Powell, Jr.? We ain't preaching for a fan club. God help, if we was, I'd be at some place making $100,000 a year, and they got preachers that do that. But the 14th verse of Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. And in verse 15, he says, so he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go, prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? He wanted what God said. Do you not want to know what God says? Amen. Isn't that why we come to church? Amen. And this is what he said. He said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, every one, to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? He just asked for to give me the word of God, and he gives him the word of God, and he gets upset and gets mad. I understand it. Thank God you get mad, and I get mad too. That means we've got something moving in our heart. But we can get mad at the message all we want, but if we don't move up to the message, we're in trouble. You said, preacher, how do you know you're in trouble? Well, just to fast forward and get this done. Christian, come get your guitar. I just want Christian alone to get his guitar. Ahab said, take that preacher, put him back in prison, and give him bread and water of affliction. That means make his life rougher than it was before for giving me the truth. But can I tell you this? I never hear no more from that man of God. That's the first time I hear from him, never hear from him again. But Brother James Powell, it's my belief. You all can believe what you want to. I believe that man's got a special place in the heart of God for preaching his word straight. At one point he says, if I'm not telling you the truth, then I'm not the man of God. God's never moved for me. God's never talked through me. But the Bible says that Ahab believed enough of that word that he disguised himself and said, I'm not going to dress up like the king. We're still going to go to fight. We're still going to battle, but I'm not going to dress up like the king. I'm going to let Jehoshaphat dress up like the king, because if he looks like the king and then the arrow comes and hits him in the heart, I know that man of God's preaching right. But I'm going to fool God and let somebody else take the arrow, and I'm going to get away from what God said he was going to do. I don't know how many times people have said this. Well, I believe what the preacher's saying. I just don't think it means what he's saying. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. Can I tell you this? That is something that you are free to think in your own mind and your own heart. There's only one problem. If it does not match up with what God says, you're in trouble. Because the report went out saying, you ain't going to live, king. You're going to die, king. And the people ain't going to have no king. And he's like, you know, he's probably right. Jehoshaphat, you dress up like the king. I'm just going to look like a regular soldier. And they're out going to battle. But this is what I tell Sister Becky all the time. In that same chapter, I've got it highlighted and underlined. Maybe you ought to dig it out. The Bible says there was a certain man. God has always got a certain man. Always got a certain man. It may even be a woe man, but God has always got one. And he drew back the bow. Now, when they went to go get killed, Jehoshaphat, dressed like the king, he squalled like a sissy, and they knew that can't be the king. This king's going to be fight bravery-wise. He's scared. He's running. So they knew he was the king. So Jehoshaphat gets away from it. It wasn't that he was a sissy reason why he got away from being killed, because God's report didn't say Jehoshaphat was going to get killed. Did y'all ever think about that? Because God said Jehoshaphat's going to live. Ahab's the one's going to die. And all those times that the man of God, Elijah and Micaiah, said something to Ahab, gave him the report, and they wouldn't believe the report. They believed the report of Baal. They believed the report of their friends. They believed their sidekicks. They believed their acquaintances. They looked it up online. They believed the report of the horoscope. They believed the tarot cards being read. They went to some place and had their palms read. They believe in everything else, but they won't believe in the word of God because it confronts them in their very heart. When that man had a bow, he drew back the bow and he let go of the arrow. And that arrow found the heart of Ahab's life. Bible says it struck him between the shoulder blades and he slooped down into the chariot. He says, get me back. But it was too late. Can I say this today, friend? Here's the report. Isaiah 53 says that Christ took your place as a sinner. The report is that God loved you so much that he gave his son. The report is that all, no matter how bad, no matter how rough, no matter how dark the sin is, Jesus paid for it. Not because he had to, but because he wanted to. Because he loves you. He loves all these young people. He loves all the middle-aged people. He loves all the old people. He doesn't send a message to beat you down. He sends you a message for you to realize the importance and the urgency of the matter, and also to know that he loves you with all of his heart. Jesus said, as the Father loves me, so do I love you. And so he gave his life for you. He died on a cross for you. He loves you that you might be made righteous in his likeness, that you'd be like him. That though the world may offer many a things, but God can give you things that far outweigh the world. When you believe the report, when you go with God, I'm telling you, it will change your life. And it for the better. Will things get better in the world? It may not. But you got somebody going with you in the world to make things better. Amen. Somebody asked me, said, Jason, how's it been so far? I've got every vehicle I've gotten broke down, booked down. My stove's broke. Everything's gone wrong. And somebody says, Jason, can you complain? Yes, I can. But I told Jerry Clemens, I said, thank God I'm saved. Amen. And he said, all things got to go through the hands of God before it gets to you. I said, amen, that's right, because all things work together for the good. Hey. For them who amen. Love God and who are of the call according to His purpose. That means I believe the report. Amen. Oh, the mechanic told me, your car's in trouble. Another person said, preacher, you need a new stove. And the baker saying, he goes, I don't know how you're going to pay the bills. But God told me He'd take care of me. And I believe it. Don't get me wrong. I could sit up here and give you some song and dance and maybe try to do some psychological trick and get you to come to the altar and make you feel better in your flesh. But the only thing that'll make you feel better in your heart is believing the report. The Father sacrificed His Son's own soul, the last verse of that chapter in Isaiah 53 says, for you. For you. For you. And for me. Now, some folks would say, well, I don't like the report. Well, I didn't like it neither. I don't like the weatherman's report, but he still gets to keep his job. Man of God gives the report, and he's hated. I wonder today if you listen to the whole report and you want things better in your life. Maybe you're here and you're saved, and you're like, preacher, things ain't been going right. I ain't been prospering. The reason why you ain't been prospering, I'm just going to give you the word of God, is because you covered up your sins. Right. Don't get mad at me. You took them and you swept them underneath the rug and says, I ain't going to deal with them. I'm going to blame somebody else. It's not about your rights. It's about your responsibility and your responsibility Amen. To the Lord. Because the Bible says if you cover up your sin, you shall not prosper. But if you confess them and forsake them, you shall have mercy. It's not whether or not if you're right and they're to blame or they're wrong or... What matters is your position with God. That's the report. You might be here and you might be saved. And you say, preacher, things could be better, but things ain't that bad. Well, if you're saying things ain't that bad, that means you need to move up even closer. Because God can use you. Maybe God's got some things in your life He's wanting you to follow and you ain't been following Him. You need to move. You need to believe the report. Or maybe you're here and you're not saved. Maybe here you say, well, preacher, I believe the report. I believe the report. Well, Ahab did too. But he still wanted to live life the same old way. He still wanted to be his own God. He still wanted to be his own man. He wanted to do things his way. And he just figured God was just going to honor his way because he was Ahab. The Bible says God respects no man's person. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It don't matter what your name is, what your position is, or what your title is in society. What matters is if your name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what matters. And if you're here and you're not saved, I want to tell you the report is hell is real, hell is hot, it's sizzling, and it's popping. And the Bible says it enlarged its borders daily. Daily people are dying, going to hell. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, you don't have to necessarily tell me you don't believe it. But if you ain't going to believe it, tell God you ain't going to believe it. But I want to let you know, when you wind up in hell, you'll believe it then. There's a rich man down there begging for somebody to go tell his five brothers. But can I tell you, Jesus is real and He's alive. And He's at the right hand of God waiting to hear from you because He loves you. And He wants to make a difference in your life. Stand with us.